This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeder's fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're chatting all things Clone Wars with our good friend, Grace. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And as we mentioned there in that intro, we've got a guest on the show today. Grace, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yay. We were also supposed to have Savannah on, but unfortunately she had internet issues. But we will get her on another podcast soon. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, as we do every week, we start off by highlighting what's been new on the blog side of the Force. Nancy, what do we got new over at ToshiStation.net this week?
Well, the Warroot Express had two entries. In the first, Bria read through the Hand of Thrawn duology. And in the second post, she read Scourge, which was described as the Hutt novel. And she liked it. I read through half of it, but it just didn't really capture my interest. But from what I read, it was, you know, pretty well written and an interesting story. So if you are into more of those sorts of stories, I would say definitely pick it up.
Bria appears to have fared a lot better than she did a couple weeks ago in the Warrior Express.
And also part of that was Survivor's Quest, which is one of my favorite EU novels. No shock here. And in her next entry, she will be diving into the Young Jedi Knight series, which is one of her favorites, so she's very excited about that.
I've already gotten a lot of excited texts and tweets from Bria that Young Jedi Knights is next on her list to conquer in the Waru Express.
Yeah. And we also did our, to combat the worst things in the EU list, we made a list of our favorite things in the EU. And our list for best things was actually longer than the worst things. So, yay, we do like the EU.
We make fun because we love.
Because it's the only way to get through some of the shit that we're giving. Part of my language, but that's the only word that can be used to describe it.
In an expanded universe that includes Waru, occasionally you have to laugh to survive.
As the wise Jimmy Buffett once stated, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. And that should be the motto of the expanded universe. But yeah, so we had our list, and some of the things we put were kick-ass ladies, because we've got a lot of them in the EU.
It's a universe full of very capable ladies.
Yeah, and then we had some of our favorite books, like the Thrawn Trilogy and Hand of Thrawn, as well as the X-Wing series. Of course, we liked having new eras and new planets and just expanding the universe, as it so is aptly described. We've got reference books that we love, especially the Reader's Companion, which is an EU fan's must-have. Lots of things. So head on over and read it if you've got your own favorite.
Link in the show notes.
Yep. And also pet mookas.
Because who doesn't want a pet mooka?
I kind of have one.
Mara the dog is a pet mooka.
Yeah, I think so.
Where is Mara? I don't hear her. She's in the same room.
Don't wake the beast. If she comes and mauls me, I'm blaming you.
Okay.
And finally on the blog, Brian offered his thoughts on the parenthetical, at the time, possible end of the Clone Wars, which ended up being...
About 2 hours after I posted that fact.
No, it was the next day.
I wrote it the night before, but posted it the following morning. Same morning it was announced.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. We'll come back to that one a little later in the show.
Yes, we will. And that's what's new on the blog.
Awesome. So for any of that, if you missed something on the blog, you can head over to Tashi-Station.net and check out the latest news and columns we've got up there. And before we move on, I think it'd be a good time for a little plug from our sponsors. Tashi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. I did and picked up a free copy of the 20th anniversary unabridged edition of Heir to the Empire.
Nice.
And we are also brought to you by...
I was going to do this one.
Well, I was segueing it into you.
Oh, okay. We are professional. This podcast is also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on TashiStation.net to purchase awesome geek gear. And if you need a reason to, they are Ashley previewed a Clone Wars vintage-style shirt, which will be available in May, as well as Rogue Squadron gear. So if you are so inclined to purchase it, why don't you do us a favor and purchase it through our link? That would be lovely.
Hell, go through our ad sponsors and help us keep the lights on at the blog.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, guess who just jumped on me?
I'm guessing Mara the dog has now joined us in the podcast.
Yep. I took off her collar so we can't hear her.
Fantastic. Mara the dog, the official mascot of Tashi Station Radio.
She's like, I heard you talking about me. Hi.
And we are now going to segue without segueing in any remotely decent fashion into Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to. And as is customary, Nancy, we start with you.
I have been doing more writing. Shocking. I submitted a short story to a online publication, so we'll see how that goes. And I am very excited because MegaCon is this weekend! Woo!
Woo! MegaCon!
I am going on Saturday.
And I will be going on Saturday as well because I am flying out to Orlando tomorrow.
You are?
I am. I am going to be leaving the house at about 3:30 in the morning to catch a 6 a.m. flight to Orlando.
I should prepare, maybe.
I suppose, because I'm going to be crashing at Casa de Nancy.
Oh, that's right. You are. That's why I cleaned my house all this weekend.
And by the way, we are doing a MegaCon 50th episode spectacular from the same location this weekend, either Saturday night or Sunday morning. We'll keep you posted and we'll try to live stream the whole thing for you.
Yes, it will be very, very fun. And we'll mostly have a very informal show where we're just chatting about MegaCon and what the con was like and all that kind of stuff. Whatever
and
we're gonna
pat ourselves on the back for having managed to do 50 episodes of this somehow.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Who let us do 50 episodes of anything? As for me, I attempted to get a hold of a bunch of Marvel number one issues because Comixology, my other comic enabler, had a promotion where they were giving away digital copies of first issues of Marvel Comics for free. Unfortunately, their infrastructure couldn't handle it, and not many people got their comics. But they did say it will be back, and once they figure out how to do it right, you all should go over to comixology.com and pick up Hawkeye and Captain Marvel issues number 1 for free.
Comics, yay!
You should pick some up, Nancy. They're free!
No.
Come on.
Because if there's one thing I dislike more than reading comics, it's reading comics on electronic methods.
This is why you get yourself a nice shiny tablet. It's like
okay,
reading a real comic book.
Okay, are you
going to
buy one for me?
Okay, fine. Fine. They are very pretty on the iPad, as someone in the chat points out.
Well, I don't have an iPad, and nor am I going to buy one.
The people in the chat are saying you need to go read these comics.
Well, they can... nothing, because they're listening to our show.
you were about to say they can go buy you the comics, except these are free, so that one doesn't work.
No, I was going to say something else started with a B.
Okay, that's enough of that one. I'm going to get you to read these comics at some point. Some point.
Yes.
Whenever we have a guest host on, we also like to have them, we force them, to contribute to this segment. So, Grace, what have you been up to of late?
Lately, other than school, last weekend I went to a Renaissance Festival with Savannah, and she came over and studied the weekend at our house, and it included movies and Clone Wars finales and tears over the Clone Wars finale. And we went to the Renaissance Festival, and I cosplayed as Claudia Donovan from Warehouse 13, which is my latest fandom, and I love that show very much, and I am really, 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 really excited for the premiere, the mid-series premiere that's coming out on April 29th, I think.
I have heard...
So that's like... yeah.
I've heard great things about that show, and it's been on my list for a while to get to.
I highly recommend it. It's really good. I got my cousin and my sister and my dad into it, and we all watched the show, and it's just, like, it's so fun, and there's, like, so much history in it and stuff. I feel so smart when I learn about something in school. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's on my show. Yes, and I also, after the Clone Wars finale, I wrote 3 depressing one-shots about Anakin and Ahsoka because I love their friendship and their relationship to torture my friends. And it worked. So, yeah.
Aww. You know, for a long time, that's how I coped with depressing things in fandom.
Yeah, that's how I always cope with depressing things in fandom. Write about them.
Now you blog.
Yeah, I think the fan fiction thing might have been healthier for me, though.
No.
Okay, that's Fixer's Flash, what we've been up to in our geeky pursuits. And with that, we go into a segment we call Deke's Dirt. Deke's Dirt, a collection of news from around fandom and geek culture. And we start with a profile by Bloomberg Businessweek looking at the sale of Lucasfilm to Disney. And George Lucas accidentally letting something slip about Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he said, or the article says, asked whether members of the original Star Wars cast will appear in Episode 7 and if he called them before the deal closed to keep them informed, Lucas says, "We had already signed Mark and Carrie and Harrison, or we were pretty much in the final stages of negotiation. So I called them to say, look, this is what's going on." He pauses. "Maybe I'm not supposed to say that. I think they want to announce that with some big whoop-de-doo, but we were negotiating with them." Then he adds, "I won't say whether the negotiations were successful or not." Oh, George.
Oh, George. Uncle George. The entire profile, though, was fantastic. It offered a lot of great insight as to why Bob Iger, Disney CEO, went after Lucasfilm and talked about how things sort of break down there, who's calling the shots, and where the creative power is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key quotes from the article was a Disney or Iger saying, "We needed to have an understanding that if we acquire Lucasfilm, despite tons of collegial conversations and collaboration, at the end of the day, we have to be the ones, we being Disney, have to be the ones who sign off on whatever the plans are." So that's kind of interesting. I know it leads to a lot of conspiracy theories within the fandom, but Disney ultimately gets to say what does or doesn't happen. But given that they've been pretty hands-off with Pixar and Marvel, I'm not too worried.
Right. Agreed.
But meanwhile, in response to George Lucas talking about the big three being involved with the sequel trilogy, Bob Iger sat down with CNBC and said that nothing's official yet.
Yeah, so while George was like, oh yeah, we were signing those guys, he was like, yeah, no, we're still writing the script, so until that happens, until that's finished, we won't know who's going to be in the movie. And everyone was like, huh? Is he just, you know, trying to lead us off the trail? So.
Well, I have seen some people upset that Disney seemingly isn't being very forthcoming with details right now. But I would caution against getting upset at Disney over that, because they can't exactly say much until contracts are completed and signed.
Yeah, there's a reason the J.J. Abrams thing came out so late, because they were waiting until they could say it.
they definitely hurt their bargaining position if they come out and start declaring things before contracts are signed.
Right. And if, you know, the movie is not coming out until 2015, we've got a lot of time to find out things about this movie. And I mean, it's not like they want to hide things from us, you know. They want to tell us who's in the movie, because that will make us excited.
Yes, studios are always going to move slower than you are, and you also have to consider that the script isn't done yet.
Yeah.
So they can't say anything until at least the script is done.
I mean, maybe they will try to, you know, hide who the villains are, like, you know, like J.J. Abrams is doing now with Star Trek. But I don't think they're going to be hiding, you know, who's in the movie and that sort of thing.
No, it's going to work like every movie does. As soon as casting decisions are made, you're going to know about it.
Yep.
I mean, IMDb is going to list every actor and actress involved with the movie once there's things to say. So they're not intentionally hiding anything from anyone.
Yep. And leading into another movie that I think we're all excited about, Joss Whedon's trailer for his version of Much Ado About Nothing was released this week, and it was very, very interesting. If you haven't heard of this movie, he basically took a bunch of alums from his TV shows and movies and filmed Much Ado About Nothing in his house for the weekend, or the week, or however long it took. And then they made a movie.
So, a low-budget Shakespearean film with Joss Whedon and all of my favorite Whedon-tied actors. I need this movie, and I need it now.
I am so excited for this movie. I had to read Much Ado About Nothing for literature in school, like, last week, and I loved it, and then I saw the trailer, and I, like, freaked out for, like, 24 hours straight. I'm so excited.
Yes, it is. It looks really good. I'm interested because it's black and white, and it looks kind of, I don't even know what kind of style you would call that.
It almost looks film noir-y.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Film noir-y. I'm coining that word now. Noir-y.
But I'm really excited because Nathan Fillion is playing Dogberry, which I think is just fantastic.
Perfect casting is perfect.
Yeah, but the thing I am not sure about, and I'm sure Brian will be mad at me for saying this, I'm not sure how much I like Amy Acker as Beatrice.
You know, that is the one thing about this movie I am the most concerned about, but from all indications, from every person who's seen this movie screened, Amy Acker pulls one out of nowhere and plays a fantastic Beatrice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll definitely go see it. It just, you know, their interactions didn't, you know, appeal to me as much as the other adaptation, which is the Kenneth Branagh version. but
the definitive standard version, you mean?
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to top Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh, though. So we'll see. I'm definitely going to go see it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very excited for this movie.
Yep.
And this will be the one time you hear us gushing about Shakespeare on this podcast.
Nah, probably not.
Probably not. As we do. Billy Dee Williams in, episode 7 rumors, grain of salt. It's not official until Lucasfilm says it's official. Billy Dee Williams is rumored to have been approached to reprise his role as Lando in the sequel trilogy.
So how many people does this make being in episode 7?
This is why I believe that most of these returning characters are only going to be in cameos.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully. We'll see.
So, yes, that's Fisher, Hamill, Ford, Williams.
Yeah. Nut in the chat says, can Ewan McGregor kidnap his uncle and drag him back?
I would love that, but I don't think that Dennis Lawson would ever come back to Star Wars, and that makes me sad.
For those who are unaware, Dennis Lawson, who plays Wedge, is Ewan McGregor's uncle. So. Kind of neat.
It is.
Connection.
Yeah. There's a little bonus featurette in the Blu-ray discs where Ewan talks about how he went to go see Uncle Dennis at the theater.
Yes, I love that. It's
I love
so
that
cute.
Too. That's adorable.
Yeah, you've seen the picture of them on Tumblr, right?
Yes.
One, I'm like, oh, look at that.
Oh.
And finally,
Grace, I bet you have a lot of input for this last bit of news. We're probably going to spend a good amount of time talking about this.
Yeah. So to preface this, we were planning to have this show be about Clone Wars, because season 5 wrapped up, and so we wanted to have people on to talk about it because.
Oops. Can I interrupt you, Nancy? I've got a bit of breaking news.
Oh dear.
So something else that happened today on the news front. Veronica Mars.
Oh right.
Got a Kickstarter. Veronica Mars, the brilliant high school detective noir television series that aired on UPN several years back. Rob Thomas, creator of the show, started a Kickstarter today to get a Veronica Mars movie made. It had a $2 million goal to fund it, and apparently about 30 seconds ago they hit that goal, so I'm getting a Veronica Mars movie! Yes!
Yay!
It was a great show.
I told you why I was averse to watching it, and it's a very stupid reason, I understand.
Okay, so now go back and watch it with fresh eyes. It's fantastic. If you liked Buffy, you'll love Veronica Mars.
Yeah, okay, I'll watch it with you.
Okay.
More things to put on my list.
You know me in TV shows.
I know.
You're going to have to basically make me watch TV shows.
I'm starting with Avatar The Last Airbender with you.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because it's got Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill is the Fire Lord.
Yes. I started it.
You have to finish it.
But when I, I have to write.
I know, but you can have it on in the background while you write.
That's what I did last summer. I spent my entire summer with Avatar Last Airbender last year. That was my last summer.
And in the chat, disbelief that Nancy hasn't seen Avatar The Last Airbender.
Okay, here's the preface. Nancy has pretty much seen no TV shows, because Nancy hardly watches TV unless it's wedding dress shows, shows on HGTV, America's Next Top Model reruns, and then she'll watch Once Upon a Time. And that's what she watches on television.
Oh, we are going to make you watch this show, though, because it's very good.
But if I see, it's like I used to play WoW, and I didn't do anything else but play WoW. And then I stopped playing WoW, and now I write. So if I start watching TV all the time, I'm going to lose my writing time, and that'll be sad.
You only need to watch one 22-minute episode a day.
We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. And setting up this last bullet point again.
About TV shows that I do watch.
Yes.
Okay, so we planned to have a Clone Wars show because we wanted to do a recap of the season. We also wanted to have our friends Grace and Savannah on because they are huge Clone Wars fans. And basically, Brian and I wanted people on who weren't ourselves because our opinions about this season of Clone Wars are pretty much opposite of everyone else on the internet. And we recognize that, so we wanted to, you know, give voice to the majority. So that was our plan, to have a Clone Wars show. And then on Monday, Lucasfilm announced their new direction for Lucasfilm Animation, which basically said that they are wrapping up Clone Wars and releasing some bonus content, but other than that, the show will be gone. So we were like, huh, okay, well, that's, you know, convenient considering what we're going to be talking about today. But we're going to leave the Clone Wars stuff until later and talk about the other things first, which is, one, that they're postponing Detours because what they say with the shifting focus to Episode 7 and the sequels, that they don't feel it's the right time to release a animated comedy set prior to the original trilogy, which I can understand their reasoning, but it still, you know, annoys me because I thought Detours looked hilarious. So,
yeah, I'm definitely very bummed about Detours. That was a show I was very much looking forward to.
Yeah, so hopefully it will come out eventually. Seth Green was positive on Twitter that it will see the light of day, so, but we're not sure when exactly that will happen.
Honestly, also, as far as Detours goes, I don't think it's so much the fact it's in the inner trilogy era, more that they're probably finagling with Cartoon Network right now to get licensing dealt with.
That couldn't be possible also, but and then the other thing they announced is that they're going to be putting out a new series, and let me get the exact text. So it says, we are exploring a whole new Star Wars series set in a time period previously untouched in Star Wars films or television programming. You can expect more details in the months to come. And this is where I say, who wants to bet their firstborn child that the animated series takes place in the post-Return of the Jedi era?
I am not taking that bet.
Grace, what about you? You want to take that bet?
I want to say yes, but, like, I really don't know.
Well, I mean,
I kind of want to see post-Return of the Jedi, but then, like, there's so much more that they probably would work with that would be, like, old Republic stuff that wouldn't interfere with the EU as much, maybe. I don't know.
Someone had mentioned that they thought it would be a Old Republic show as well. But for me, it just doesn't make sense because if they're shifting focus so much to the post-Return of the Jedi era anyway, it seems like the best spot to have a show.
Yeah.
And also, they worded it very specifically in that it's a set in a era and any time period previously untouched in Star Wars films or television programming. They didn't say previously untouched era, period. So it's definitely an era that we have seen in another way.
Yeah, so the way I read that, it could be the old Knights of the Old Republic kind of era. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if that has the broad mainstream appeal to work as a show. So I'm going to wager post-Return of the Jedi.
I just don't know why they would, if they're shifting away from the prequel trilogy, I don't understand why they would put another era on TV that's not the era that they're doing a movie in, you know?
I could see just, maybe intertrilogy, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
But yeah, most likely I'd guess post-Return of the Jedi.
But then I said today...
I'm not even going to entertain this because I don't want to get my hopes up.
There's a possibility that this show could be our long clamored for X-Wing series.
I wish and I will pray for that, but I don't think it would happen. I like would love that more than anything.
I mean, I can see them kind of using a series to kind of like be the primer for the movies. Like, okay, we're going to go into the EU and you pick these ideas that we like and set up everything for these movies that take place years later, because we don't have to use the original actors. We're going to animate it.
Wouldn't the first three X-Wing books make for a fantastic season-long arc of some post-Return of the Jedi show?
Well, they can show how we got Coruscant, you know.
Yes. Please.
We can have different arcs. We can have arcs focusing on the military aspect. It doesn't even have to be X-Wing, but there can be X-Wings in the show. They can
You're making me too excited. I don't want this to like not happen now.
They can have, you know, like where they focus on the military part, like taking back Coruscant and setting up, and then they get the political side where they set up the New Republic, and then they can have Luke over on Yavin 4 setting up his academy, blah, 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 or, you know, the Jedi Temple, because they'll probably do that poo. So, I mean, they could have basically everything. It'd just be like a primer show. But if there's X-Wings in it, I'll be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
If they were smart, they would do that. If they were really smart.
And they could get Mike Stackpole and Aaron Alston to write some of the episodes.
And then it would be, like, perfect.
And I think if the Clone Wars has taught us anything, it's that you can run with these long arcs featuring military people, non-Jedi, and non-major film characters, and it's still extraordinarily compelling television. I mean, how many clone trooper arcs did we see during the run of the Clone Wars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we can have, you know, big three storylines, we can have, you know, wedge storylines or whatever. Can have Mara Jade storylines.
Don't get your hopes up.
I never have my hopes up. You know that. So, but yes, that's what I'm hoping for. So, yes.
So, yeah, I will say it's a big bummer that the Clone Wars is ending the way it did. A lot more suddenly than people thought, but I'm very hopeful for the future of Lucasfilm Animation and Star Wars, because it's a big universe, and it looks like Lucasfilm wants to start exploring areas that haven't been touched yet.
Yeah, I hope that eventually we can have stuff going on in a bunch of different eras at once. You know, and not just books or comics, but, you know, TV shows, movies, that would be kind of neat. But people are pretty much tied to the Star Wars movies being about the Skywalker story right now. So we'll see. But to get on with the other big news about Clone Wars, first of all, we have Grace on the show to talk about Clone Wars, so we wanted to ask Grace some questions, if you don't mind.
In our segment we call Cammy's Concerns, our discussion topic for the week.
So if you don't mind being put in the spotlight, Grace, we'll ask you some Star Wars questions.
Fine by me.
Okay, so Grace, first of all, we want to know how you became a Star Wars fan, because that's why we're all here.
Yeah. I think that the Clone Wars really broke my household, because without it, none of us would be Star Wars fans. I became a fan because my little sister, she's 11, she's not that little now, but she went and saw the Clone Wars movie in theaters for a birthday party and fell in love with it and watched the series. And convinced me to buy her the original trilogy, like, on VHS from, like, a thrift store, and I bought it for her, and I watched it, and I fell in love with Luke Skywalker and decided I need to, like, be obsessed with this. And then the past, like, several years have now just been completely Star Wars, and I got into her universe and met a lot of my friends, including my best friends, and I wouldn't have known any of them if it weren't for Star Wars or for Clone Wars either. So I was a hater at first because I got mad at my sister for watching something that I considered a boys' show. And that was when I was a horrible, girly, pathetic, like 11-year-old or however old I was, 12-ish. And then I saw the original trilogy. I was like, forget this. This is wonderful.
And now you know that Star Wars is for girls, too.
Now I'm a full supporter of Star Wars for girls, too. Yeah. Like, with my entire life, I do that.
And you're mainly kind of, you're into all different eras of Star Wars because you like Clone Wars, but you're also really into the EU, right?
Yes, EU. I actually can blame you for that, Nancy, because I read your fanfics and everything, and I was like, ooh, I really need to read these books. And then I read, like, all the books and, like, literally all of them. They're all sitting above my desk, and I'm like, whoa, what did I do?
I apologize for that.
No, it's good. Yes.
Cool. So, are you going to talk first about the last season of Clone Wars, so season 5. What were your thoughts on the season as a whole? Did you enjoy it? Was it your favorite season, your least favorite season?
It was not my favorite season.
Okay.
It was not my favorite season.
Okay, so we actually have some common ground here.
Yeah. No, I wasn't super, super into the Clone Wars this season. Like, I think I was more into, like, the EU books and everything this, like, year. And I watch Clone Wars because, you know, it's, like, the show that I can sit there and complain about for forever, but I'll still tune in every Saturday morning. So, I would watch every week. And until the episode, I don't even know the name of it, but the one with the Mandos where Satine died and where Savage Opress died, that is where I started getting into it. I was like, oh, yes. This is good. This is really good. I like this season. And then I kept watching, and I liked the episode with Gregor, the Republic Commando. And then the Ahsoka arc is what, like, I was like, wow, I didn't realize how attached I was to this show until this happened.
And we should probably, warn people after the fact. We will be spoiling everything, so.
Oh, yeah.
You've had 3 weeks to see the finale. I have no mercy on you anymore.
That's what I've done. I felt so bad at first. I'm like, oh, spoilers for everything. And then I'm like, you know what? It's almost 3 weeks, guys. If you haven't seen it, it's your problem.
Yeah. Unless you were James Arnold Taylor and out of the country, you don't have an excuse. But, I think Brian and I have similar opinions about season 5.
Yeah, for me, season 5 was, it was a season with a lot of neat ideas, but the execution was lacking at points throughout.
Yeah, I think my problem was that the arc seemed very oddly paced. And, like, there were some, you know, there were some arcs where, like, okay, for example, the Onderon arc. I liked the idea of it, and I thought, you know, the story was okay, but I did not think it needed 4 episodes, you know, and the first couple episodes, you know, dragged, and then the next 2 were, like, really fast and all this stuff happening. And I was like, if you spread the story around through the arcs more, through the episodes more, or if you condense it down into 3 episodes or 2 episodes instead of 4, I think it would be a lot, you know, neater. And that was really my main problem with this season, was I just thought, I was like, okay, you know, it's kind of like when they would have series in the post-Return of the Jedi era, where if you're not really happy with the story for 9 books, you know, you're kind of screwed. Even though 4 episodes is a lot shorter than 9 books, it's still like, okay, I'm ready for a new story. Or some of the arcs didn't even seem like the episodes went together. like the first episode of that Youngling arc was pretty much a standalone episode. But then the next four, and I was like, well, there's four episodes to this arc. What are they going to do? And then they had Hondo attack their ship in the next episode. So,
yeah, I struggled with that arc until Hondo showed up. Then I was okay with it.
Yes. Well, I liked the younglings, and I thought it was like, I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't like it, which you
I
know,
liked it too. Part you know, Savannah hated on it, and I was like, "Oh, but they're cute."
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were cute, like you know, and it was, you know, it was a as a one-off story. I thought it would have been really, you know, cute and interesting, and you know, I think Clone Wars really it's frustrating because they want to tell like grand stories in the arcs, but then at the same time, they're not getting into the stuff that I want to see, you know? So, Brian, thoughts?
I think season four was the high point for me in this series. So I won't say season five was bad, but coming off season four, it was a little bit of a disappointment for me.
Yeah. I think I definitely liked season four better. It just, you know, there was, for example, season four ended with Obi-Wan and Asajj in the cockpit of their ship flying off. And I wanted the first thing of season five to be them in the cockpit staring at each other going, okay, well,
now what?
What do we do now? And we got nothing of that. Like, the next thing we see of Asajj Ventress, she's in on Coruscant, in one of the lower levels of Coruscant, you know, working as a bounty hunter. And she had been a bounty hunter, so that, you know, wasn't surprising. But I was like, okay, so if they consider her a terrorist and Obi-Wan is a Jedi Knight, wouldn't he try to capture her or bring her back to the temple? And I'm like, what happened there? That sort of thing bothered me. And they showed episodes out of order again this year, which they said they weren't going to do. And that's very frustrating.
And wasn't there some controversy with Cartoon Network censoring some material throughout the season?
I think that happened last season.
Okay, that was last season.
Yeah.
Okay. What did we all think of the finale of season five?
The finale broke my house. It actually didn't hit me until a lot later because Savannah was sleeping over and she's a heartless jerk sometimes. Most of the time. And she was just like, the entire time, she's like, whoa, look at the lighting. Whoa, look, 2 seconds of Wolf in the beginning. Oh my gosh. And she was just like not into the whole Ahsoka thing at all. And she's just like, whatever. And then my sister is like, she loves Ahsoka. Ahsoka's like her role model and has been since she was five. So it was like a big deal seeing her walk away from the Jedi Order and everything. And she cried and I felt bad, but I didn't cry or get upset that much because I wasn't really paying attention. And then I went back and I bought the episode on iTunes and I watched it alone in my room and I cried for like an hour. And I was like, wow. And then I wrote fan fiction because that really was sad. And I still can't watch it without getting all teary-eyed.
So what was it about it that obviously, you know, it's Ahsoka leaving, but was it like a specific aspect of the story that really got to you or just kind of the end and ending or...
I guess it was just that I'd seen Ahsoka grow up and go from like this little kid to like this mature adult, really. She's like all grown up now, and seeing her relationship with Anakin and just like, cause as like a writer and everything, seeing the way that they had it written out so well and like the everything from the lighting in that scene at the end to like Anakin's expression on his face and everything, like for a cartoon character, that's really good. Mm-hmm. It made me cry. I was like, wow. Wow. I still can't wrap my mind around it because it was so like pretty and sad at the same time.
It was a very pretty episode, and that scene was very sad. I will admit that was a very, very good scene.
I thought the last 5-10 minutes or 5 minutes or so of the finale was fantastic.
Yeah.
Very well done, very well voiced, very well illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you how many times I've watched the last 5 minutes over. I haven't even watched the rest of the episode. I watched that once. Then I've watched the last, like, 5 minutes over and over and over and over and written, like, 3 fanfics over it.
I think I liked the idea of the episode. For me, it was just... Ahsoka leaving seemed very abrupt to me. And I mean, maybe if I go back and watch the season, I'll see threads in it throughout the season. But I really wish they had built up to it more. Like, because it seemed to me like it was a decision that they had made, you know, to have her leave. And, you know, it was kind of done after the fact, you know. Whereas... you see in the show so much foreshadowing to Anakin becoming Darth Vader, because obviously we know that's going to happen. I think if they had been operating from the beginning of the show that Ahsoka was going to leave the Jedi Order and to have a lot of hints to that. But then again, I know people have said hints of that, have, you know, said there were hints of that, but...
There are.
Yeah.
I've gone back and looked. There are.
But for me, it just for this season, it just seemed very abrupt as far as this season goes. Like I can look back and see, oh, okay, I see where they're going with that. And there was the Onderon arc, which she had a very tough time with. I think if that arc had been directly before this one, I would have said, okay, I can see how Ahsoka is really disliking the Jedi, because it was just
that's a good point. How many weeks was it between the Onderon arc and this final arc of
the
season
Onderon
5?
The Onderon arc was the second episode. I think it was started episode 2 was the first Onderon arc, so it was episode 2 through 5, and then, you know, up until now. So and she's been in this season. She's been in a lot of episodes this season, but I can't remember her having such doubts about being a Jedi since that Onderon arc. So if that had been before this one, I think I would have flowed a lot better.
At the very least, not 15, 20 weeks apart.
Yeah, and I think that was my main problem. Like, in the story itself, I could totally understand why Ahsoka left, because the Jedi Council treated her like crap. And I would have left too. but I don't know. That's just my opinion on it.
To counter it being abrupt, mm-hmm. For Ahsoka, like, as the character, it was kind of abrupt for her too, don't you think? Like, it was like a split-minute, like, decision that she had to make, like, right then and there. Like, she didn't have time to really think on it. And all that betrayal and stuff happened right then, like, within the course of a couple of days or weeks or whatever. And like, for her to have people that she'd lived with and grown up with and fought for, like, all that time, like, her entire life pretty much was for the, like, was for the Jedi Order, mm-hmm. and then have them turn on her like that, like, so quickly, like, just like, if you watch the episodes, you can see, like, Mace Windu and Yoda, and I guess the other people too, they don't really talk that much on the Jedi Council, like, they're just, like, so quick to judge her and say, oh yeah, she was found in this warehouse, okay, well, she obviously did it. And, like, ready to give her a trial. And Anakin's like, oh, you already made your decision. What are you even doing this for? What's the point of all this?
So. Yeah, I have to side with Anakin on that one. Because, mm-hmm. man, we talked about it in last week's podcast. But I don't understand why they automatically assumed Ahsoka had done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't either. That still bothers me.
I mean, I guess they have a lot of faith in her. Because, you know, she's, what, 16? 17, and they think she can pull all this off on her own. But yeah, well, then considering, you know, they had Barriss actually do it on her own, which I still dislike a lot. But yeah, I was like, why are you guys, you know, turning against her so fast?
still bothers me. And like my mom and I have discussed it, and we still can't figure out why they would do that. And it makes sense for Ahsoka to walk away from that, because like now she's questioning and doubting everything that she'd ever been taught, like growing up there and everything, that like they'll just turn on her so suddenly like that. And yeah, it still bothers me.
And I want to know, where's she going to go? Where's she going?
That's what I want to know. That's why I hope in like this bonus content thing, they at least tell us like what she go, what happens to her. Because like I've talked with my friends and stuff, and like major Ahsoka fans, like I love Ahsoka and everything, but they like really love her. And they're all like, we don't want her fate to be left up to an EU author. We want it to her to go out how she came in with the Clone Wars, and not just like left open like that. The way she left was too open of a storyline, and I agree. I think that it should be closed up a little bit at least.
I definitely agree with that. If that's how they're going to leave it, I really hope they put it on the table that she can't be in any books. Don't bring her.
I hope so too.
And it's not that I don't like the EU, because obviously I love the EU. And, Darth Plagueis was a fantastic book and a fantastic addition to the prequel trilogy. But, you know, if that had been a movie character, I would have wanted it to be explored in a movie. It's the same thing with why I don't want the big three to die in a book, because they came in a movie. I want them to, if they're going to go out, I want it to be in a movie, you know? And that's exactly how I feel about Ahsoka. I don't want her showing up in the EU 50 years later and being like, oh, hey, I've been around this whole time. Can I join or should I order now?
$5, she's in Crucible. $5,
no.
She's in Crucible.
Shut your mouth.
I'm with you on that one. I love Ahsoka, but I don't want her in the EU.
Yeah, like I just, it's them trying to tie everything in together. It's what they did with Apocalypse, and it was stupid. They should have kept Abeloth as who she was supposed to be and not have it tie into the Clone Wars, because, you know, not everyone, I know people like everything tying in together, but see, it could have been so interesting if they had explained Avalos' background and kind of like explored her, but not said specifically, she is the one of the ones from Mortis. And then people could be like, hey, what if she was from Mortis? And then people who don't know anything about Mortis can be like, what if she's blah, blah, blah.
And in addition, that whole thing was some of the clunkiest prose I think I've ever read in the expanded universe.
Oh my god, it was terrible. I'm sorry, it was awful. It was the perfect example of show, don't tell. Or the non-example. This is what not to do. Because it's basically these Killiks leading Raynar around this room and showing him all these stained glass windows and explaining their history. And it's so boring. And then, you know, reading through it once is bad enough. But then they get back to the Jedi Council, and Luke has been told all of this. And then is it Luke who tells it again? Or someone else?
It was someone from the search party.
Okay. But basically, the point is that the Jedi Council is told this story again.
Almost verbatim.
Yes. And it's not just like, so-and-so told them what they learned. Luke reacted concerned. It was like, no, we're going to say the exact thing all over again. But then, you know, however many pages later, after Luke has almost died, it says he and Ben have this really nice reunion, and then they talked for 20 minutes. And I was like, excuse me, you're going to make me read about the freaking Killiks for how many pages and not let me see Ben and Luke talking? I didn't mean to rant that long about Apocalypse. I apologize.
You and I are still very bitter about that book.
Those parts were bad.
And that goes back to my thing of don't be slaves to continuity. Don't let it be more important than the story, which is why I really don't want to see Ahsoka show up 50 years down the line.
Because it wouldn't make sense. Like, I don't see her as the type of person who'd just be sitting by and, you know, not doing anything.
Where if have you been the last 50 years when the galaxy went to pots 4 times?
If they want to have her like in the inner trilogy era where we don't see it, okay, that's fine. But only if she ends up on Alderaan before a certain
like,
space station comes into orbit.
If she shows up in Kenobi and Obi-Wan tells Ahsoka to go to Alderaan.
I'd be fine with that.
To watch over Leia.
Yeah, that would be great. That's
what I want. If, like, I get to pick something to happen to Ahsoka, I'd like that. That's, like, really what I'd want to see happen.
Yeah.
A lot.
Agreed. Although, a thought for you as far as the going back to the ending of Season 5, what if that final arc had dropped the Barriss subplot entirely, and it had been more Ahsoka and Ventress go on a life-changing field trip, in which Ventress slowly shows Ahsoka that the Jedi Council had in fact betrayed her?
Or...
that could have been so much more compelling, like, in a totally different way. Totally different mindset.
Or, as I was saying, I want Palpatine to be behind this whole thing. And people were saying, well, I doubt Ahsoka was acting on her own, but now we're not going to get to see that. And I was like, and it also frustrated me because the arc before this, which I mentioned last week, I think, was, you know, Palpatine saying, I have plans for you, Maul. And the next episode is this whole setting up Ahsoka stuff. And it was filmed after those Maul episodes because that was Ian Abercrombie's last episode. So why couldn't they have used Maul and have that been part of his plan? That would have been awesome. And there's some people going, well, that's probably what happened. I'm like, but that's not what we got in the show.
Yeah, I didn't like that Maul came back to begin with. But if they actually did something important other than, like, I really hate Obi-Wan Kenobi, then I might have liked it a lot more. And if they did it, that it tied in that well to the end, then I would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think the finale for Season 5 was kind of sort of encapsulated the issues I had with Season 5 as a whole. It was a couple of really, really, really neat ideas that kind of lacked on the execution a bit.
Yeah. I agree. So yeah, Season 5. Did we ask you already what your favorite episodes of the season were?
No. Okay.
What were your favorite episodes of the season, Grace? I had that all planned out.
I think that The Wrong Jedi was my favorite. I love that episode. Like, just for the last 5 minutes, quite honestly. I could watch those last 5 minutes forever. Just, like, everything from the music, and they tied in Ahsoka's theme, and that, like, made everything perfect. So that was my favorite episode of the whole season. And shortly, like, close in second was, I think it's called The Lawless, and it was the episode where Satine died. That was my second favorite.
Brian?
I think I might have to go with The Lawless. The Lawless was the one where Palpatine shows up, right?
Yep, that's my favorite.
I'm going with that one because add Palpatine is in his full Sidious form, and oh yeah, that's great entertainment right there.
I got, like, so excited by that whole episode. I was like jumping up and down. I was so excited.
We were catching up because we were so far behind, and the whole episodes were like Mando's snore. I know Savannah would kill us if we were here. Or if she were here. Sorry, Savannah. But Palpatine shows up, and Brian and I are like, yes. And then he shows up, his shuttle lands, and we're like, yes. And then we're just watching the show with our jaws open, like, we want him to be in every show.
Then he starts throwing Savage and Maul around like ragdolls, and I'm like, this is the best thing ever.
It was!
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So, let's see. Favorite episodes for the entire series?
Oh, that's hard.
That's really hard.
I gotta think back on that.
Okay. I think my favorite episodes are the Citadel arc.
You know what? Like, I'm going to have to copy that one exactly.
Oh, no. You can't. I have to pick something else.
What?
I thought it was one of some of the episodes that were closest in tone to the original trilogy. It was like adventure they were going on, but then, you know, they had Tarkin in there, so there was all this cool Anakin and Tarkin stuff, and then, you know, Obi-Wan was like, who's this guy? And Anakin, why are you talking to him? Ahsoka's like rolling her eyes at Tarkin. It was great.
See, that's why I loved it. It was a pulp adventure with maybe the best banter in the entire series.
And I will say that also had an EU contradiction, but it didn't bother me because I liked the story. Whereas in this episode, I mean, ideally they could have used a completely different Jedi and not had it contradict. But I will overlook that. But the whole thing with Barriss was just too much for me. So.
My favorite episodes, I'm trying to think. I know that going like really, really far back, one of my favorites that I'll still watch like just for fun with my sister is the Jedi Crash arc, where they crash land on, I think it's, I don't remember now, some planet. There were these like random little monkey people, and I remember my little sister and I would sit in our room with like our little portable DVD players, and we still shared our bedroom. And we would watch this episode over and over and over. And that's when like season one had just like come out. And so we got it on DVD and we would watch it over and over and over. So that just holds like sentimental value more than like it was a good story or anything. But I liked it because Isla Secura was in it. And we don't really see her much after that. So I like that. And then the deserter episode where Captain Rex gets hurt and is like sees the little farm people. And
oh, that and I think that was my favorite clone trooper episode.
I love that. I love that episode. I could watch that one over and over too. I love that one. And then after that, I like a lot of them. I like the older episodes a lot. We were watching them last night and I was like ready to cry watching Ahsoka as like, you know, she's like 13 or 14. I'm like, you were so young.
I like the one from season one with the little Twilight girl.
Oh, aww. I love those. We watched those when Savannah was over. She's like, can I see the episodes with Numa? So we watched the Ryloth arc. And
she
that
just
was
got the biggest eyes
ever. Yeah, I like those. And I think for the longest time, my favorite episode was Altar of Mortis. Not necessarily because I liked Mortis, but I liked Anakin and Ahsoka's relationship as it was portrayed in that episode. Yeah. And that was my favorite for a really long time. And then I saw The Wrong Jedi. I was like, this is my new favorite.
You know what? I can get behind that for your rationale on the Mortis episodes. I didn't like so much how it kind of tried explaining the nature of the Force, but the interaction between Anakin and Ahsoka in that episode really was some of the best in the series.
Yeah.
That's why I like it. I don't really care about Mortis itself. I care like about the characters, and you get to see their emotions really like raw there, and that's like one of my favorite things in writing is raw emotions.
And Sam Witwer was great in those too.
Oh yeah.
And the Maul episodes from the end of last season, but just mainly the last one when Asajj was on, because Asajj and Obi-Wan working together was awesome.
I loved that. I was like, I had to like stop myself from shipping them in that episode.
Oh, I didn't stop.
Everyone shipped Asajj and Obi-Wan a little bit. They're lying if they say otherwise.
Because they're awesome.
I love them together. They were so like witty and perfect, and their banter was just like hilarious. And they were great. They made a great team.
At the time, I used to say, that's the closest we'll ever get to having Luke and Mara on screen, and now I'm not so sure.
Oh, how things change in this universe. So, obviously, it's a really big bummer that the show is ending. I honestly did not think for a minute that the alarm over the Clone Wars had any merit, because on the surface, it sounds crazy to take that show off the air. But here we are. The show is going to be winding down. What would you have liked to have seen if the series had continued?
I want to see what happens with Ahsoka. I want them to finish her story. I don't think they finished it with how she left. I don't think that's finished. I want to see, I want to have like closure. I want to find out what happens with her. The preview that was in the video with Dave Filoni on the website, that was really awesome. I'm interested to see what that's all about. And I can't really think of too much else that I really want to see like in the show. I want to see what happens with Ahsoka now. That's like my main concern right now.
Yeah, I just really wanted more stuff to lead up to episode 3. You know, I liked in the beginning, a lot of it was very standalone and, you know, was just really kind of one-offs about the war. And I thought as it went on, it got more tied into episode 3. And that's eventually where it had to go. I would have even liked to see the show go through episode 3 and show Order 66, but obviously
I don't think I could handle that.
Yeah, obviously it's not going to happen. But that kind of stuff. Not that I want to see, you know, the conception of the twins, but obviously it has to happen at some point in time. And I kind of would have liked it had to been alluded to, so that the adults could know what was what had happened, you know, where the kids don't, you know, because Anakin and Obi-Wan had to leave for months, you know, they were gone for months in the Outer Rim sieges. So obviously, before that happened, they say goodbye and oops, babies. So, I don't necessarily want to see, you know, them, you know, kissing in the show, but we know what happens. and the point being is that they don't spend enough time together, maybe because Padme was hardly in the season. So I would have liked more of them. I would have liked to see more of his jealousy. I was kind of looking forward to that Clovis arc.
Oh, I was too. That I really kind never of wanted happened. To see that.
Let's see what else. More Hondo in every episode.
I'll take a spinoff show with Ventress, Palpatine, and Hondo and just them and be very happy.
That would be like the best show on television.
That'd
be really funny.
Yeah, and now we don't know what Sidious's plan for Maul is, which I'm like, you know, I'm not like a Super Maul fan, but I was kind of interested in that because any plan.
Super Maul.
Go in the corner.
Sorry.
But I would have, you know, liked to see what his plans were, because any plan of Palpatine's is going to be awesome. Brian?
You know, The Clone Wars was a series for me that I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to, but I don't know if I ever liked it as much as I wanted to. It definitely did a lot of great things. There were some fascinating ideas it hit on, and honestly, I thought that the end of season 5's ending actually serves as a pretty functional ending. So the only thing I really would want to see in addition to what's already been shown is, like Grace said, I'd like to see exactly what happens to Ahsoka and what her endgame is.
Agreed. Is this the point where I can put in my pipe dream for Ahsoka? That won't happen now.
Go for it.
I'm a terrible person and I really wanted Vader to kill Ahsoka.
No, you're not a terrible person. That's what I kind of wanted to.
Okay.
That would make me feel less bad. Okay.
No, that's
just imagine it. We're in the inner trilogy time period. Anakin's gone full Vader. Full Vader. And he's in the middle of hunting down the last of the Jedi. And on one of these missions to hunt down the last of the Jedi, he runs across Ahsoka. And his final line to her would be, "Goodbye, Snips."
Oh my god. You hear that? That's a sound of my heart breaking. Okay. Ow.
Someone in the chat said Ahsoka could be his Sith sacrifice. It'd make more sense than his aunt.
Looking at you, Jason.
Yep. Or what would be even better if it was, well, obviously, you know, he's on the purge, you know, going on the purge, and Palpatine has this report of a Jedi hiding out somewhere, so he hands it over to Vader, you know, because Vader is his go-to guy to hunt down the Jedi, obviously, and he shows up to where he's supposed to go, and there is Ahsoka, and he's like, screw you, Palpatine.
Oh, just a cruel and unusual test of faith
mm-hmm.
from Palpatine.
And of course he does it because he's...
He has to. Oh, he's Vader.
Hey, Lucasfilm, this one's on us.
Oh, gosh.
Tell just me like, I don't have time.
Even, like, entertaining these ideas, my friends are going to hate me. They're like, how could you? I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Hey, I didn't have Anakin force choke his pregnant wife. That was not me.
That's true. Oh yeah, see, I'm looking at the chat now, and I know General Snips. Hi. yeah, that would be awful. Sorry.
It would be awful, but fitting.
Yeah.
Either that, or have her die some point during the war, and have Anakin feel that he could have saved her.
That, yeah, I've entertained that idea too, and I've almost written it, but I haven't because I couldn't bring myself to do so.
I think that was probably more likely to happen in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate because Ahsoka is such a good character for little girls to look up to, and they love her. So mm-hmm. at the same point, you don't want her to die because, you know, they're killing so many female characters already, and you want the little girls to have someone to look up to, and the little boys too. But it's what works best for the story.
Yeah. Like, my sister's 11, and Ahsoka's been her role model since she was 5. So it's like, she's grown up with Ahsoka, and wears her Ahsoka, her universe hoodie all the time. And she holds her little green lightsaber she built in Disney World to look like Ahsoka's, and like reverse grip and everything. She's really into her. So like, when Ahsoka walked away, that was enough to make her upset, and she lay down on the floor in her room and cried, and I felt so bad. But like, I kind of want to see her like go out in like some blaze of glory or something. Wow, that was like a pun unintended. My sister's name is Glory. But I don't want it to see that happen, that it breaks her heart, and other friends that I know look up to her, and like, it would make me really sad to see that happen. Even if it was good writing, I'd feel bad just for that reason.
Oh, I'd feel bad. I wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah, I'd feel bad about Ahsoka going out like that, but I think it might make the most narrative sense.
Yeah. So obviously, Grace, we already kind of touched on this with you, that Clone Wars basically is what made you a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Brian, did it change your views of Star Wars in any?
I think it made the prequels better.
I would agree with that.
I would too.
It had the Plagueis effect on the prequels.
And I will say that as a prequel liker. So, but it just added more. And I, you know, the relationships were what made the show always made the show interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Me too. That's why I like it so much, is all the relationships.
Yeah.
So I think that the Clone Wars was extraordinarily effective at fleshing out that era and making it a more interesting and relatable and compelling time frame. And I guess that's why I'm okay with it ending now, because it has served its purpose. It's done a very good job at that. And now Lucasfilm needs to go and reallocate those resources to doing the same thing in a different era.
Yeah, and I do feel bad for people.
Oh, me too. I feel terrible for Clone Wars fans right now.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of Clone Wars fans, you know, fans who are from the original trilogy, fans who are, you know, just brand new, and there are so many kids that this is all the Star Wars they know.
Yeah. That's, I think, what breaks my heart the most about it ending so abruptly. Like, if it was something where it's like, okay, the show's over, like, it's wrapping up, but, like, the story was done, it wasn't, like, ended so quickly, like, the cast only had, like, a week or something to find out about it, then we find out.
If the cast, and more importantly, if the fans had had more time to brace for this being the end.
Yeah. Then I might be okay with it, but, like, right now, that's so abrupt. And, like, I'm, like, just pulling, like, a random example. I teach dance, and one of the little girls in my dance class, her older brother's, like, 7, and he is a huge Clone Wars fan. Like, he dressed up as Anakin Skywalker for Halloween. He'll still come to, like, bring his little sister to dance in his Anakin Skywalker costume. And, like, he's so into Clone Wars. And I talk with him about it because he was telling me that, I think I was wearing, like, a Horror Universe shirt or something. He said, oh, it's Star Wars. And I was like, yeah. And I was talking to him about it. And he's, like, so into Clone Wars. I'm like, how are his parents going to explain that it's not going to be on TV anymore, that he can't see it anymore? It's like, there's no new episodes. Like, I feel bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many reasons to feel bad about the Clone Wars wrapping up like this. I mean, there's the fans thing. I was talking to someone on Twitter whose daughter is a huge Clone Wars fan, and she was already heartbroken that Ahsoka had left the Order and Barriss was now a quote bad guy. Now he's got to tell her that there's not gonna be much more
that's
in the way
so
of Clone
sad.
Wars.
Oh, that's so like that bothers me. That's like so sad. Yeah.
Yeah, so no one really had time to brace for it and prepare for it. And something else there's really two other things that really are just a bummer in all this. And that's, it hit me Monday night as I was sitting in a hotel on a work trip, just thinking about the Clone Wars as you do in a hotel on a Monday night.
Like you do.
This news puts a lot of wonderful fan sites and fan projects and blogs and fan podcasts into some really uncertain futures, because many of these fan things have been so Clone Wars driven for the last 5-6 years. And
I can speak for that. Like my forum that I co-own operate, Lakecast Forums, is pretty much solely Clone Wars fans. Of course, we like the other stuff too, but we got together because of the Clone Wars, and we have a lot of Clone Wars centered topics, and that's a lot of what we have bonded over pretty much. And my co-admin emailed me the other day. She's like, okay, so now that this is over, is like this going to mean the end for a friend? I'm like, of course not. That's I wouldn't even worry about that, because we're all friends and like have grown a lot more than just the TV show. But like, that's still like, it's what brought us together, and it's like really sad to see it end. And like, I can see where that would make like people who do podcasts just about Clone Wars or blogs just about Clone Wars, they're like, they don't have anything else to write about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like,
what next?
Our old sister podcast, We Talk Clones, I feel pretty bad for them. I mean, they are going to keep podcasting in some way, shape, or form. I've already told me that, but they had weekly material for a long time, and now we don't know how much new material they're going to get and when it's going to show up for them to talk about on their podcast. It's kind of a scary and just very unfortunate thing for these groups.
Yeah.
And yep. something else that's really sad is we're losing a platform for some of the biggest ambassadors in Star Wars we've got. James Arnold Taylor's been a fantastic ambassador to Star Wars. Ashley Eckstein has been so great for Star Wars and so much beyond Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And with this show wrapping up, so too are their contributions to the universe for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
I hope, though, that they still like will go to Star Wars weekends and things like that, because I was talking to my mom about that. She's like, people will still like pay big money to go see Mark Hamill, but he's not, you know, playing Luke Skywalker in the movies or anything current or anything like that. He was Luke Skywalker, and now he's just Mark Hamill. Like, so, like, James Arnold Taylor was Obi-Wan, but now he's just James Arnold Taylor, but everyone will still go see him because he played Obi-Wan. And so I hope they still do everything like Star Wars weekends and stuff like that, because I really like, I love the Clone Wars cast. They're all so awesome. And I'm like really sad just for to see them go. I'm sad about that.
Yeah, there's just been so much sense of community that's built up around these great ambassadors. And with the Clone Wars winding down so suddenly, it's going to be a while before we know how these people in particular are going to be able to keep contributing to the universe we all love. Mm-hmm. So, that was a lot more of a downer than I thought it was going to be. we do have one question that's relevant to this segment from Will Reagan. Where does the series go from here after the announcement that all that's left is bonus content?
I'm not exactly sure. I think the best thing for them to do would be release it online.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
I agree.
Like, where else? Unless they make money off of it by, like, you know, making it into a DVD or something, like a DVD exclusive.
Yeah. I could see them releasing it online and then having, you know, put it out as a DVD with the bonus content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm envisioning, though, is I just don't see this bonus content meaningfully adding to the ending of this series.
Yeah.
It'll bring some closure to some character arcs, but... unfortunately, I think that season 5, episode 20 is the de facto ending of the show now.
I think so, too. And anything else is going to be more like spin-off-ish, where it's just like kind of what happens after. And like that was like the real finale.
Yeah.
Everything else is just like extra.
There'll be little short stories to... answer some question, some lingering questions, but we've unfortunately already seen what is going to be the ending of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes me sad.
Yeah. That certainly got depressing. But with that, let's go ahead and end Cammy's concerns on that downer of a note, and we're going to move into a segment that we call Ask Us Anything, where we solicit questions from our listeners, and we'll answer them. Yes, we will. Why do we do this segment?
Because you started it.
I know. Matthew Bowers asks, how do I know Waru loves me?
Because Waru is Waru.
Waru is all. Waru is loving. Glory to Waru.
Priya asks, when will Waru leave my life again?
Let's see. When are you going to live stream the Crystal Star again?
Once Waru enters your life, he never leaves.
He is Waru is you. You are Waru.
Oh dear.
Oh, you asked for that answer, Bria. In the chat, Nut asks us, do you think older fans are biased against newer Expanded Universe books because they are not, quote, their books? Nostalgia kicking in or fanfic setting expectations?
I'll own up to that.
You'll own up to that?
I'll own up to that, yeah. It's really hard for a book to come close to that first period of just reading EU books, like the Thrawn trilogy and you know, even the Zom books that come out now that I'm really excited about, it's just, you know, you can't compare it because those were the first and they always will be, and they always will be the best, and no one can convince me otherwise.
I think it's a mix of things. Nostalgia, definitely. You're always going to think fondly of, the first of the Expanded Universe novels you've read. For me, that was the Thrawn trilogy and the X-Wing series. I mean, for Bria, she loves the Jedi Academy trilogy and the Young Jedi Knight books. Nancy, you've got Thrawn trilogy and Hand of Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace, well, I'm not sure where you started.
Well, where I started with the EU,
I
started with the Thrawn trilogy, and after that, I just picked up every random book around. I didn't really go in order. After that, I didn't go in order. I did read through the New Jedi Order and through the Legacy series, but I did that in order. But everything else was really out of order. I started with Thrawn trilogy, though. That's what got me into it.
Yeah, but I do think there also may be a little bit of a fall off in quality. And I think that's mostly to do with the way the books have been structured. It's not so much with who's writing it or what they're writing about. It's the super series structure that I think has perhaps reduced quality a little bit.
Yep.
And in a final question, also from Nut, what would you like to see Disney? Or what ways would you like to see Disney flex all of its corporate muscle, i.e. Pixar, Marvel, ABC, XD, Hyperion Books? I can read good. In what ways do you want to see Disney stay far, far away from the distant future? I'm assuming in reference to Star Wars, if we can see Disney do anything with the Star Wars universe, what would that be, and what do you not want to see them do ever?
X-Men series.
Go, son.
I want to see an X-Men. That would be great.
X-Wing series, and get your boy Joss on that.
No.
Come on, it'd be great.
No.
It'd be fantastic.
No. We already got enough terrible deaths. I don't need him involved.
Oh.
Everyone we love is dead.
Anything you want to see Disney stay away from?
I am not a huge fan of the comics, but I know a lot of people really like Dark Horse and say they do a great job with the license, so I wouldn't mind if it stayed with Dark Horse.
See, I'd kind of like to see it move to Marvel.
Of course you would, because you're a Marvel fanboy.
I am! It's just Marvel's got all this great talent on board, and I'd like to see them thrown at Star Wars.
Well.
Oh, another one. Star Wars Land.
Yes.
Oh, I could do Star Wars Land.
Yes. It's your built-in answer to Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
It is totally.
That would be amazing.
I would be there every day.
I could live at Star Wars Land.
There is a Marvel Land, but Marvel Land is at Universal Studios Islands of Adventure.
It's probably not going to be Marvel Land for much longer.
No, they have the rights. That was part of the deal.
Do they? I thought that was expiring after, like, 2015.
Oh, no. If it expires, it's a lot later than that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah. That's our Ask Us Anything segment. And remember, you can join us in the live stream every week and shoot us questions, and we'll be obligated to answer them because we love you all so much.
And so this is the time where we let Grace pimp all her stuff on the internet.
You can find me on Twitter at Fallon Klivian, FallonKlivian. And also on the Lake House forums, lakehouse.bigforumpro.com. And I have a Tumblr blog called One Day More. And that URL is authoressviolist.tumblr.com.
Awesome.
Fantastic. And does someone want to pimp Savannah's stuff since she was going to be on here? Savannah, if you don't know, is a fantastic photographer who is regularly making the convention circuits and taking all sorts of neat pictures. Also runs,
and she happens to be my best friend. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Also runs her own blog. So if one of you would like to promote that on Savannah's behalf, since she couldn't make it.
I've got that. She's PLCOMY.com is her blog. And she's on Facebook and Twitter with the hashtag PLC.
Definitely go check out her photography. It's fantastic stuff, and I wish I could get composition 30% that nice when I'm taking pictures.
She took the official photographs for the 501st group shot at Celebration.
Yes, she did. She's
also
amazing.
She also took pictures for her universe.
Yeah. I just remembered that.
Oh,
and
yes.
She's also she also wanted me to say, like, this is one request. I talked to her on the phone before we started recording. on the topic of Clone Wars and everything, I just remembered this, what you want to see them wrap up and everything. She has a very, very strong attachment to Commander Wolf. And she said that she'd rather see him die in the Clone Wars or die in the series than be killed off in a comic. She would rather see him go out in the Clone Wars like an awesome kick butt clone that he is.
That's fiery blaze of glory.
That's right. That's what she wants. So that was my, I promised her I'd say that.
Well, thank you for joining us on this episode, Grace.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, we'll have to get both you and Savannah on sometime together. We'll get her internet's problem solved at some point. She'll be able to join us.
Yes.
All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap the episode up there. We'd like to remind you that this episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. You can find us on Twitter with the handles @Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. You can find us on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next time.
Au revoir.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.